on, has to go back for, so we're going to go on to item 8. Time and place for hearing by the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, North Coast Region, to consider proposed revision waste discharge requirement order number R1 2008-0045 for the Santa Rosa Subregional Water Reclamation System. Item has been properly noticed. Sheet explaining procedures for this hearing is available at the handout table. Will all those who expect to give testimony in this matter please stand? Raise your right hand and take the following oath. Do you swear or affirm that you will tell the truth in this matter? We'll begin with a staff presentation. Mr. Reed.
If you'd stay at the right hotel, they give you these things free.
I know.
I get to do everything this board meeting, I guess.
Maybe you can get.
Girls wave at me. I'm damn near going off the street. Uh-oh.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Charles Reed. I'm a staff engineer with the Regional Water Board here. I'd like to have the file entered into the record. This item is minor modifications to the existing MPDS permit for the City of Santa Rosa. This item was properly noticed, and we did not receive any comments during the comment period, so we originally had this on the consent calendar. There was a request to have it pulled off the consent calendar. We don't know the extent of the comments. Thank you. Next slide. Pointer. New technology each board hearing. The modifications that we're proposing here are indeed minor. We are going to modify the total coliform effluent limitation. There was a miscommunication during the permitting process, and this change will make it consistent with the previous permit and make it consistent with Title 22, which was the intent all along. We're also going to remove some unclarification or some unclarity in a footnote to an effluent limit for nitrate. The existing language just makes it very hard to understand, so we're removing that to make it more clear. We're also going to change some methods in tables in the monitoring reporting program that were as a result of some typographic errors. We're also going to be reducing monitoring frequencies for a number of constituents that have been shown recently that the city can comply with final limits. So we're reducing the frequency to a frequency commensurate with constituents that no longer have reasonable potential to exceed water quality objectives. We're also reducing monitoring frequency for pH specific conductivity, dissolved oxygen, and temperature in the receiving water. The last or the existing permit has requirements for continuous monitoring. That would be all month long, every day, every month, and of discharge. The city has proposed to have continuous monitors installed for a minimum of 2 weeks during the month. And originally, I had wanted a daily monitoring because I was concerned that we'd be missing a considerable, at least half of the time, we'd be missing receiving water monitoring data. But they've demonstrated that using a minimum of 2 weeks per month continuous monitoring, they get at least two-thirds of the days that they're actually discharging. And as they reduce the periods that they actually discharge, I expect that to increase. So they're actually covering most of their discharge period with a 2 weeks per month monitoring requirement. And I guess I've explained these somewhat. As a result of changes in the analytical method and some improvements in their sample handling and analysis, they've shown that they can meet final limits for these constituents, copper, lead, nickel, and mercury. And that was going to conclude my presentation. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have on this item.
Board member questions? I've been trying to figure out the 2 week monitoring and the representation that it gets 67% of the days they discharge. How does that work? I mean, do they, so I understand that you have 14 days. Point is to be continuous, so once you start, how does that work?
Well, there should be some consideration for having to do minor repairs on the right. instrumentation, and that fact alone makes it difficult to have it in every day of every for each month. I can't recall exactly how the two-thirds came about. Maybe the city can right. expand on that.
Anyone else? All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. I don't have a, well, someone from the city representative?
Good morning. I'm Lynn Small, Deputy Director of Environmental Services for the City of Santa Rosa. Our discharge monitoring program incorporates the use of data sondes. We program them to operate for a 7-day period where we take them out, recalibrate them, and put them back in the water, or exchange them with a fresh set of data loggers. Generally speaking, conditions are not always conducive to going out and retrieving those data loggers out of the water. We could be encountering heavy floods when we're discharging and we have data loggers out, we cannot retrieve. And it was our feeling that having the continuous everyday requirement was just going to put us into immediate violation on an instance where we could not go out and retrieve the data logger itself. So we requested the change. Our the two-thirds two-thirds of the monitoring time we do accomplish. We do like to cover our bases, and as you'll see in the presentation coming up, we had a large discharge period in past years, so we were able to monitor the first 2 weeks of the month. If we encountered a failure, we monitor third week of the month and so forth. So that's how we got up to an average of 66% of the time was monitored, and instead of the 50% or 2 weeks a month.
Still not clear in my head. Somebody else will try it.
Yep. Are you saying that you're monitoring 50% of the time, and if that's a failure, then you go to 66% of the time?
Yeah, I'm suggesting that we monitor minimum 50% of the time. Mm-hmm. If possible. We will monitor an additional week. We can't always evaluate the data instantly. So in the past, we have just taken out a set of data sons from week two and installed during week three just to collect the extra data.
Always monitor discharge with all monitors.
We go deeper.
It's a monthly recording period window that we're talking about. So 2 weeks of monitoring is 50%. Then if you need the extra third week, it bumps up to
75%.
That would be 75%.
Yeah, 75%.
The professor has returned. That's good.
Yeah, and the other part of this issue, we open our discharge valve. We monitor for the first 2 weeks of the month. And then we have a necessity, weather changes, flow rates change, and we close our discharge valve. And then we have the entire period monitored. So, you know, in essence, the percentage is 100% of the discharge period was monitored for that particular month. Hope I didn't confuse things worse.
Still not there.
Yeah. I was just wondering how you arrive at a 4-week figure when you have 2 weeks' worth of data.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm hearing?
I hesitate to give this a try. I think what I'm hearing Lynn say is that it may be the month will be 4 weeks, but they may only discharge for 2 weeks. So they will, if they monitor those 2 weeks, they will have covered 100%. But they weren't discharging, so they don't have to monitor for the other 2 weeks.
So
that makes sense.
So I would conclude then that we could require monitoring when they're discharging, and when they're not, then it's...
That sounds like 100% monitoring to me. We're monitoring when we discharge and not when we don't.
Yeah, but I think... All right, this won't go away. It'll come back. So if there are other speakers from the city, I heard reference to a presentation, but
next item.
Boy, now I see why the chair has had to go back throughout the day. Then we'll just go on to the next item, and then he can come back to this item before we decide it. I do have two cards. Mr. Sherman.
I think I wrote the wrong number on
Okay.
agenda item number on my card. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Brenda Edelman.
Brenda Edelman, Russian River Watershed Protection Committee, and I want to apologize profusely for not getting comments in on this. I've just had a number of obstacles in my life that's thrown everything off course. And I did not have the opportunity to, in fact, it was just last night that I really got into this and realized that I had a lot of questions about this. And I am concerned that this may not be minor, and maybe it's just a matter of something I don't understand that needs to be clarified, but I have some issues I want to bring up. In terms of switching from a median, it seems to me that would allow for 3 out of 7 numbers to be hitting the high limit, which I think is 23. I'm concerned, I see it's under their reclamation system, but it's not really clear here what happens to this during the regular discharge season. Whether it just seems that it would allow for more coliform to exist in the system. And also there are 3 channels, and it was unclear whether these guidelines need to be met in each of the 3 or somehow they're combined and averaged. I'm not clear on that. And the justification is that Title 22 allows them to use a median, which I guess is legitimate if they're only doing this in the reclamation season when there is no discharge occurring. what's kind of unclear is what is going to happen during the discharge season. Would they be allowed to do the median as opposed to the mean? It just seems to me that if you took an average of a median, you'd end up with a much higher, or could end up with a much higher number than the actual average itself of 2.2. So I have some concerns about that, and perhaps there's a logical explanation that, and I take full responsibility for not getting these questions to staff ahead of time. I'm very sorry about that. On B, in terms of the no net loading, I was at a meeting in staff the other day about the other issue, and the statement was made that all nitrogen would be come under the no net loading, and I may be somehow, I'm not a scientist, but I was under the impression that nitrate is a form of nitrogen. And I don't understand why nitrates are being eliminated from that requirement. It doesn't seem like a simple matter to me. So anyway, I have that question. And then in terms of the monitoring, I'm kind of concerned about going from weekly monitoring on the mercury, copper, lead, nickel, cyanide, and mercury to quarterly. I mean, it seems to me it might be better to go from weekly to monthly, at any rate, if the staff is not as concerned. I think copper especially is a potentially a very serious problem. Not being a scientist, I do not understand their new methods. I don't know if this has been explained to the board, what their new methods are. I know copper was a big problem for a long time, and now all of a sudden there's new sampling methods that have made the problem go away. And it just seems to me that I haven't seen any explanation of that. So I raise those questions. If there are indeed other people concerned about these things I've brought up, I would really appreciate a delay in approval on this and more opportunity to look at this more closely. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else? Come forward.
Sorry, I haven't filled out a speaker's card. It's spontaneous.
If you,
I'm Tom Yarish, co-chair of Friends of the Esteros, and also water quality manager for Salmon Production Watershed Network in Marin County. In the course of doing several years of water quality testing and reporting to the Bay Area Regional Board, it really became a concern to me and other toxicologists that we were asked not to report peak exceedances, and our particular concern was dissolved oxygen. And the Bay Area Board actually asked us to cleanse our data of peak exceedances and only use geometric means. This was then and is now a great concern to me. It's a great concern to our new PhD toxicologist, because it's these peak events, peak exceedances, that are what kill fish. And so I'm not sure that you can get away from the issue of acute toxicity. And I think this requires some more thought. I haven't heard this addressed adequately here. I was at a conference in New Orleans in April, the Center for Bioenvironmental Health, I believe, research. And there I saw a paper presented from Louis Gillette's lab in Florida showing that nitrates, in fact, had a capability of acting as endocrine disruptors. I don't know if that paper has been published yet, but it is available on the web. So with that in mind, I would ask you to exercise another level of due diligence and looking at these matters. That's all I have to say for the moment. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right, bring it back, Mr. Reed.
Well, I had really hoped not to have to get into the geometric means versus arithmetic means and seven-day medians, because it might get kind of confusing. Brenda is correct. There are three channels in the city's disinfection, UV disinfection system. The way the previous permit was for compliance was evaluated is that the geometric mean of the results from the three channels, the geometric mean was taken from the results of the three channels were taken, and the geometric mean was taken. The geometric mean will help to account for one high number out of three, for instance. If you have a less than two, and a 1600, it'll more accurately show what the median is. If you do a straight median, that would be just negative, or it would be less than two. But using a geometric mean, that the effect of that larger number gets built into it. So that's the way the previous permit was written. You would take the geometric mean of the three channels, and then that would be the result for the day. And then you would take the seven-day median of that day sample and the previous 6 days. And that's how you would determine whether they were in compliance with the effluent limit. In effect, the permit changes that we're recommending will return compliance to that the way it was in the previous permit. So we'll be using the seven-day median of each day's sample, or of each day's result, which is determined by a geometric mean from all three channels. What this permit change does is it requires that the city to comply with the 70 median or the weekly median effluent limit. It requires it holds that the daily result. Let me restate that. We're again going to be using a seven-day weekly median to determine compliance with the effluent limit. And the daily results are going to be the, as in the previous permit, the geometric mean of the results from each channel for that day.
Thank you. All right. You're speaking in the staff report, item 1A appears there, and it now makes sense. It didn't before, you know, it does now. But I'm still not clear on the change that we're proposing here. This sampling frequency 2 weeks per month, and the, I mean, as I hear the representation made, what I hear is that we're still sampling when there's discharges, and because they're not discharging, but it's not clear to me that there's a connection between times they know they're discharging and when there's data collection occurring, or there's any linkage between those two different things.
Well, let me first point out that continuous monitoring of receiving water is far and away more a stringent requirement than we have in any other permit in this region. So the city is going over and above our normal requirements for receiving water monitoring. There are times when receiving water can't have the data sons in there, and they can't be recording data. So requiring only 2 weeks per month is in recognition of that, and it allows them to be in compliance with their permit. And by and large, most of the time, we're going to be getting results. If you look back through previous data, at least two-thirds of the times, we would have been getting, we do get data. And that as the discharge volume and the discharge period is reduced through reclamation, I expect that to be even a greater coverage. So as they discharge 2-3 weeks per discharge season, we may get 100% coverage.
Elaborate, if you would, a bit more on where what our requirements are for others in the same regard.
Generally, it's weekly monitoring, maybe monthly monitoring, grab samples, and a comparison of upstream and downstream.
All right. And question was raised about we're changing the monitoring for copper, lead, nickel, cyanide, mercury, and on what basis are we changing that?
For copper, the method ICPMS gives a result for different masses of copper, mass 63 copper and a mass 65 copper. The city has reported in the past and for the last permit renewal had reported the copper 63. Unfortunately, copper 63, there tends to be an interference when there's sodium in the sample matrix. And as you might imagine, in wastewater, there's a considerable amount of sodium. So what the city should have been doing is reporting copper 65. They've gone back and they reviewed old monitoring data, and new monitoring data is being reported using copper 65. And if you use copper 65 like they should have been doing all along, they are going to comply with the final effluent limits. And indeed, if we were to do the reasonable potential again, they may not have reasonable potential, so there wouldn't even be a limit. But we're not proposing to go back and open the permit and remove limits. What we're doing here is making the reducing monitoring to make it commensurate with constituents that have no reasonable potential, which is quarterly. And for, do you have any questions on that particular one? I really didn't want to have to get into the mass 63, mass 65 either, but over here.
All right.
And I can talk about lead and nickel as well. There are contaminants potentially in handling and analyzing those constituents. And the city did an audit, and they found that their sample containers contained lead, which affected the result that they reported to us during the reasonable potential analysis during the permit renewal. If we were to go back, it looks like there would not be reasonable potential for lead or nickel. And what we've done, we're doing the same thing as we did with copper. We're not going to go back and change the permit, but we will reduce the monitoring commensurate with a constituent that does not have reasonable potential, which is monthly. And mercury, the city has been sampling weekly during the discharge period since the permit was renewed in 2006. And we have 24 at the time, I think, 24 additional samples of mercury, and none showed an exceedance of the water of the effluent limit for mercury. Therefore, at their request, we were reducing monitoring frequency commensurate with a constituent that does not have reasonable potential. Although we're not going to go back and remove the limit at this time.
Mr. Corbett.
I just want to ask just a question to further educate me on copper 63-65. Do they have a linked proportion between them? In other words, if you know what the copper 65 is, do you know roughly what the 63 is? Because if I understand you, maybe I'll just, you're saying that we can better measure 65 because it's not as sodium sensitive in the measurement. My question to you is 63 and 65 copper equally bad in the water, and is there a proportion between the two?
Well, Lynn may correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that copper 63 is ignored when there is considerable amount of sodium in the sample matrix. Just because it's not reliable, it'll give you an erroneously high reading. So okay. You just ignore 63 and use 65. And that's common in environmental laboratories. That's my understanding.
Do you run into problems in discharges that would have high amounts of 63 but not 65? No, is 65 a good indicator? And I'm not going to go any further because we got a permit to get through today.
That's the common one you're supposed to be using. I think the city had erroneously been using 63.
Let me check my understanding in terms of going You okay?
Yeah. Sort of.
On the quarterly sampling, but we're not changing the limits in the permit. If we get to quarterly and we find that something has changed, then we go back.
We don't even have to come back to you to increase the monitoring frequency. Just because we're decreasing the frequency, we have to bring it before you.
All right. Anyone else?
Well, I'll make a motion to adopt order number R12080091 as proposed.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Deed is done. We'll go on to item 9.
8 was the easy one.